seated in Jesus' name. Beautiful prayer, man of God. Thank you so much. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, thanks be unto Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell this story often because of how much impact it's had on my life and how much that particular season meant. And how many understand that you go through things in life and you remember everything that happened during that time? Is everybody with me? How many know sometimes you remember the smells, who was driving what time they called, because it was so impacting in your life? Praise God. I like to tell you a small story that I was in a very challenging place, a very difficult place, a place where where I was just in disarray, was not quite sure what to do and how to do it. Have you ever been there? Mm-hmm. And as a result, I went to go to my pastor, Pastor Dan Berry in Des Moines, and I don't know if I was just happened to be there or if I had an appointment. I went to go see him. I can't remember what the detail was on that. But the one thing I do remember is that I went into his office and Pastor Berry shared with 1 hour for me what to do and how to do it. He shared with me what to do and how to do it. Is everybody with me? Yeah. And as a result of him sharing what to do and how to do it, how many understand that you can get the right information and you feel impacted, you feel like that's right, and you can, okay, now I didn't see that, and you can tell that there was obvious wisdom that proceeded out of what was just shared, like you've just sat under great knowledge. Are you with me? Amen. And so I walked out of his wonderful office and shared and hugged and kissed those in whom I know there. And if you understand how Cornerstone is situated, you have to walk through what I call Aunt Judy. You have to walk through Aunt Judy's office. And then you have to walk towards the spiral staircase. And right on the corner of the spiral staircase was Pastor Ransom's office, which is also my spiritual father. And so I had no intent of going in there to see him. I wasn't trying to disturb him or anything like that. But as a result, I just peeked my head in to say bye. And if you know Pastor Ransom at all, I was there 3 hours. What I want to share with you, I have on the board here, is this. I had had what to do and how to do it. But when I walked in Pastor Ransom's office and I sat there and I wept bitterly and I just poured out myself and didn't say very much. What happened on that particular day is that I received from Pastor Berry what to do and how to do it. But when I sat with Pastor Ransom, when I left, I actually felt like I could do it. I'm going to say that again. Sure, you may know all the right things. You might have all of the things. You might have all of the classes. You may have done all of the work. You might have got all the degrees. You got more degrees than a thermometer. But how many understand that doesn't necessarily fill that place that you don't believe you can do it? What I want to share with you is a passage of scripture, and we're going to do things very differently than maybe what we've been accustomed to. And so I want you to take a look at this passage of scripture on the screen. It says in Isaiah 35, verses 2 to 4, very incredible passage of scripture. I'm going to break it down for us. It says, yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will become as green as the mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as Mount Carmel or the plain of Sharon. And then it says this, there, where all those things are going on, the Lord will display his glory. And the word glory, as we've learned here, means splendor. So the scripture defines what that glory is, the splendor of our God. Verse 3 says this, with this news, strengthen those who have tired hands and encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. We've read the scriptures, but just for the sake of communicating with clarity, I want to have us pray and speak the word over each other, because the scripture says, strengthen those who have tired hands. Have you ever been around someone, or maybe perhaps you yourself might be that one, that what they share is they're just tired? It says, encourage those who have weak knees. And then it says, say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. That's a powerful word. He is coming to save you. Hallelujah. If you feel like right now you're here and you're tired, if you're here right now today and maybe you're not tired, but you just have been feeling weak at the knees, you've been feeling like you just have almost ran out, you're near empty. If you're here and you realize that it's fear that's entrapping you, that it's fear that's stopping you, we want to be a blessing to you today. When I ask of you, right where you are, you don't have to come up here, just if that's you, tired hands, weak knees, fearful heart. If you're dealing with that right now, you're here, you're in a safe place. You're in a safe place. But if you're here today, I just want to ask that you would please stand right where you are. Would you do that? We just want to bless you right now in Jesus' name. If that's you, anybody that's experiencing that right now, in Jesus' name, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Those that are near them, those that are near them, when I ask that you would do this, would you go ahead and lay your hands on them and begin to do just as the scripture says? That's what we're going to do right now. And if I don't mind, I'm going to have somebody tap in the background, the piano, for just a little bit. Right now, what we're going to do is we're going to pray and speak the word. I'm not going to do that. You're going to do that. You are with them right now. Lay hands upon them, and you're going to pray and speak the word. If this word applies to you, then stand and let us reach to you as we edify one another in love and in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're even near in that sector and you see that's you, or maybe you know somebody in your family that this applies to, I'm going to leave this screen up, and all you've got to do is pray the word of God. Speak the word of God. Pray like this means you. Because if it's not you right now, it may one day be you. And if it's not you now and it won't ever be you again, maybe it used to be you. So I ask that you pray right now in Jesus' name. Go ahead. Bless the body one with another. Edify the body one with another. That's it. That's beautiful, church. Come on, pray. Can you imagine them walking out of here right now with strong knees? Come on, be the body. Have love that has legs right now. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, bless them right now in Jesus' name. Speak the word of life over them. Tell them, be strong and do not fear. Pray for this day and that this day will not return. About 30 more seconds. Come on, pray. Be renewed in the spirit and in the power of his might. It's not your might, sister. It's not your might, brother. Come on, pray. Jesus. Come on, we're down to 10 seconds. Come on, pray. Pour out. Speak life over them. Encourage those. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Come on, pronounce amen. Pronounce amen over them. Amen. Let it be established. Aman, Hebrew. Aman, let it be established. Amen. So be it. Now give them a big hug. Bless them. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, let's thank God in Jesus' name. Come on, let's thank God in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless you, woman of God. More strength than you ever have before. Amen. More strength. More strength. Brother Austin. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, that was refreshing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ushers, if you can help us out real quick, there might be one of those beautiful visitors that just came in that didn't know that we love this much. And how many understand one of the number one attributes of loving is giving? Amen. We understand that God is love, and we understand that love gives. Love does what? Gives. And we here, we are learning to live to give because we love that much. Amen? Amen. So ushers, if you can get some Bibles ready, we're going to give away some Bibles right now. If those that don't have Bibles, we want you to go home with a Bible. Amen. How many understand a Bible is the best tool you could have? Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So if you don't have a Bible, or if you're just thinking that you would love to have one, And please, if you need a Bible, just raise your hand. They'll be happy to get you a Bible. Look at it. We've got this man of God right here. There you go. Wonderful. Another big, handsome, muscular. I don't know why these men in our church are all muscular and stuff. Y'all. Yeah. Wow. Oh, no. Amen. My goodness. I obviously need to be working out. This brother say he's going to go to L.A. and train. You could have trained right here in Ames. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, if you have a smartphone, and it's okay if you don't have this, but I just really want to strongly recommend to you that you go ahead and download a Bible app right now if you don't mind. And here's one of the ones we recommend is YouVersion. Has so many different translations, and if you are have a different language, or it probably has it available to you. So if you would, just go ahead and download that app. It doesn't take very long. If you download YouVersion, another beautiful Bible we utilize a lot of is Blue Letter Bible. That's a great study Bible, a great study tool for if you have a smartphone as well. If there's anyone here that doesn't have their Bible, doesn't have a Bible on your phone, please go ahead and, even if you say, well, I don't have any room for that. You know what? I think you could delete Candy Crush. I think you can delete that. Amen? I do. No, I really do. I actually believe that you could delete Candy Crush. I looked at Candy Crush the other day, not because I don't have that necessary luxury, and no, not condemning. I don't necessarily have the luxury to play games like that, but how many understand if you have a 19-year-old and a 15-year-old, you can find anything on your phone. Are you with me? And so I looked at it one day, and I saw how many megabytes, kilobytes, some kind of byte that it had on it. I had to delete that bad boy, amen, because my phone was going slow and stuff. And so I just wanted to make some space out. So if you would, I think you can get rid of Candy Crush. Amen. Praise God. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you, Brother Jeff. You did such an excellent work back there. Thank you. And you and your team, beautiful job. Habakkuk chapter, if we had the opportunity and time, I would share with you chapters 1 and 2. But I'm not going to do that necessarily today. We're going to take another opportunity to do that. There's a message I want to get out today, and I'll just maybe give the best parts of it, I guess, so to speak. But Habakkuk chapter 1 and 2. And so if we read through chapter 2, what I'm going to do today is pick up in chapter 2. But please understand that chapter 2 picks up from chapter 1. Amen? Everybody with me? Y'all do know, like, I like y'all to say amen and stuff like that, right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. What I want to ask this question, it says, what do you see? And it'll make sense in just a minute. It says, I just want to say this to everyone now, because you're getting like more of a trailer version of this message, and that is this. Finally, I have seen with my own eyes what can be, and I want you to see it. Amen? What's going to be happening for the next weeks is very different, if you can't tell already. It is very different. And so what I want to do is, finally, my eyes have seen what can be. And as a result of seeing what can be, I find that the very best thing that I can do pastorally is to help us all to see it. Amen? Praise God. So the way to do that is through the prophecy of Habakkuk. And I had some options in the message already. And so we would read those things, but we're going to take the second option. So if you could, I want to ask that you would turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. And what we're going to do is start off reading from verse 1 to 4. I don't have this on the screen, so I'm going to have to ask somebody to read it. If you got a microphone there, Sister Justine? Thank you. That's fine. Who has New Living Translation? New Living? Thank you. Chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Would you follow along with Brother Cameron, if you will? Go ahead, man of God. Oh, sorry. Let me see. There we go. This should be good.
Here we go. All right. Back at chapter 2, verse 1. I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time, and it describes the end. And it will fulfill, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems too slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are cooked. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God.
And everybody said amen.
Amen.
So, what I want to do is I really want to over-communicate with clarity our BCC vision. And so I'm going to share it with you. I know many of you are able to quote it now, but I want to share with you what is our BCC vision. And this has been consecrated by God, breathed upon and birthed, conceived and birthed by the Holy Spirit through our leaders. And we want you to be a receiver and a one that would genuinely embrace it. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. So with that comes this thought. And that is, this is our vision. Our vision is we are the heart of God in our world. Can you say that with me? We are the heart of God in our world. And for the sake of just being really demonstrative in illustration, what Brother Cameron didn't see that coming, right? But out of that testimony comes a reflection of being the heart of God in our world. Amen? Here it is, comes back, and we don't even know what's going on with his heart, but he comes in and is well received, which is one of our core values, is hospitality, and to genuinely love upon people and be very accepting. And so therefore, here it is, he comes into the body, and it was as though he had never left. How many understand you're going to think pretty high of God and his heart? Amen? You're going to think really well of God's heart. Not of the people and not of the church, but of the heart of God. Everybody with me? And you can reference that in 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 to 19. I want to show you this in the New King James Version because it's necessary to see this. It says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Amen. Then when we go down to verse 4c, we're more familiar with this way of saying it because it's said four times in the scriptures, but the just shall live by his faith. Amen? For the just shall live by his faith. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
So do you notice where it says R&R? Y'all see that? How many of y'all want a little R&R?
Amen?
Amen? Somebody said, yes, Lord, over there. Look at that. Man of God ready to break out and shout over there. Amen. How many of you know many of us want R&R? Can I get any help here? However, suppose R&R was designed so that you might regain energy. Amen. Suppose R&R is not to stay in R&R, but R&R was designed so that you might have energy to fulfill what God created you for. Right? How many understand? I know you want to, you know, if you stay at Disney World 2 weeks, you want to be there 3 weeks. Right? You know, JP, I was with Alex and Angie this past week. And he told the story about when you all were teenagers, y'all went to the Carolinas. Man, that was a story, right? And they said they were with some really, really wealthy people, and they're jet skiing, right? How many understand if you jet skiing and you're living in a wealthy house, you wouldn't mind staying there extra? Isn't that normal? You know, it's pretty natural, isn't it? But how many understand if you don't come back to work, I'm just saying. I would like to restate what R&R here is. I would like R&R to mean something different. R&R, read and run. Amen? That's what the scripture just said. So that they that read it can. Amen. I want to share with you what we're doing. This is see God say, and may you run. That's what the passage just said. See God say, and that's the revelation. Can't teach it right now. That's what he said. He said, so that I might see what God was going to say to me. Joshua, that's what he said. Scripture. And then the other verse in verse 2 said, so that he that may read it may run. So our hope is that if we can see what God says, then may you run. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Run how? Run with the vision. Run with the vision. What's the vision? We are the heart of God in our world. What's the vision? We are the heart of God in our world. Illustration. Can you imagine at your workplace or in your school or wherever you may go on a weekly basis that somebody writes you an email, stops by your cubicle at office, and says to you exactly what Brother Cameron said to us, he says to you. Sister Dr. Shaw comes into your office and says, you know, I've been here a whole year, and it's been hard for me. It was hard to move back here, you know, from home. But every time I'm around you, Sister Angela, you just have a love that emanates to me, and it makes me want to come back to Derry, to the building every day. That would be the love of God and the heart of God reflected. Isn't that a good word? Turn to your neighbor and say, that's preaching. Amen. I'm going to skip this one for today. It's good, though. I'm going to take a few minutes, see how fast we can go. But this particular message would be called All In to Win. All In to Win. The story you are in to win. What we're going to go over for a second or two is this. This is the story that you are in to win. Who likes to win? Y'all getting nervous now because I got y'all shaking your hands. Last time we did that, I busted you out. I got it. Says this. The story that you're in to win. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is the story you're in to win. But the title is All In to Win. And the reason it has to be All In to Win is because in order to win, it's going to take it all. Somebody say amen. Amen. And what I mean by that is this first bigger picture is that's an obvious picture of them winning. But it's a group of them, right? And I don't think, I could be wrong here. Let me make sure. I don't see anybody in that picture going like this. Check this out. They're not going like this. Right. I won. We won because of me. Right? Says all in. Everybody with me? The second picture is how many understand in relationships, it's got to be all in. Amen? You've got to be all in. I mean, you can't go into it saying, well, I'm going to see how it works. How many understand if you go into a relationship, I'm going to see how it works, it's not going to work. Because anything we leave a door open to the enemy is going to exploit.
That's right.
Amen? So it's got to be all in. In order to what? In order to win. I was real daring. I'm willing to take the suffering of the of those that think, wow, you know what, we don't believe in gambling and that type of thing, you know. And I agree with that. Amen. No condemnation to that. But can I tell you why I put those chips in there? You say, this is just a little friendly game, no money involved. That could be true. But here's why I put that in there. Because how many understand, in order to be all in, is going to incur risk. In order to be all in, it's going to incur risk. And when we understand and we take an evaluation, like the scripture says, that we ought to consider this before it happens, then we don't have to be mad. We don't have to be disappointed. We don't have to be, you know, totally thrown off, like we done lost everything in our mind if we go into something and we didn't understand that it was a risk. Right? In other words, when I married Sister Anna, right? Two things, I'll give you two. When me and Sister Anna got together and I married Sister Anna, and I understood she was from Columbia, and I had already sat at dinner table with them when they was really shouting at one another. Right? We had dinner and they're shouting with one another. How many understand I had to evaluate then I might be at the dinner table, and I might get shouted at every now and then. Now, if I didn't take consideration of that, that wasn't wise. Everybody with me still? Guess what? Sister Anna, I don't know if y'all know this, but y'all might have heard this. Some of y'all been here a long time. Sister Anna had this growing up dream that she was going to marry somebody with long hair. You know, you understand, Sister Tiana's here with us. You know, Tiana has seen these pictures of these guys that Sister Anna used to date. And, you know, these guys are all buff, handsome, ponytails, long hair, all that type of stuff, you know. And how many understand, what happened with Dad? Right? Well, I think, you know what, I think she had to reevaluate. Listen, when we met, my receding hairline was already creeping. Right? So how many understand, at that point, she had to look up there and be like, all right. I'm all in, amen? Hallelujah. Everybody turn their Bible to Judges chapter 6. Everybody turn their Bible to Judges chapter 6. I want to say this to you, BCC. This is the story that you are in to win. Amen. All right. So, I have a phone. Nope. Let's see if I can play with this one. All right. Let's do this. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. I'm going to read swiftly if you don't mind. Starting at verse 1. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. And whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land and destroying crops as far away as Gaza. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, goats, cattle, and donkeys. These enemy herds coming with their livestock and tents were as thick as locusts. They arrived on droves of camels, too numerous to count. And they stayed until the land was stripped bare. So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. They were the enemies. They were the what? Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. When they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. He said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of slavery in Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and gave you their land. I told you, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amalekites, in whose land you now live. But you have not listened to me." And everybody said amen. There's 7 points, if you can get these big points, the ones that's in blue. Says this, BCC, this is our story. And maybe you feel like it is your story. In other words, you feel like you have feelings of being robbed in life. You feel like, man, here I am, and I'm under the enemy's bondage. You feel like there is a drought in your life. You feel like you just are not even making it well, but you are not only not making it well, but you feel like you're far behind. And therefore, even though we like to read the second part of John 10 and 10, I know you can't necessarily admit it or confess it in church, and some might even want to pray for me if I'm, you know, not preaching right or something. But here it says, you might even feel like SKD, or you might feel like the enemy is stealing, killing, and destroying what belongs to you. Have you ever been there? You can't admit this, but just say it under, you know, like deep down inside, like don't let anybody hear you, but you might be there now. You know, we got a colloquial in our community or in our society that says this: you take two steps forward and you feel like you get knocked back one step, right? Can I share something with you? That's not in the Bible. So therefore, stop saying that. That's a good word. Amen. Man, I feel like every time I get ahead, something always happens to knock me back. Stop saying that. Praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, he just took that out your vocabulary. Amen. Ain't that right, sister? Welcome to BCC. Amen. You take steps forward, everything's going good, but it feels like you keep going back and you become disappointed. Amen. That was what the children of Israel were going through. It wasn't that they weren't working hard. It wasn't that they weren't building crops. It wasn't that they didn't have livestock. It was just that the enemy came and took away what they were producing. Every time they look up, they get ready to go out to the harvest, and listen, you got to catch this. And they were there so numerous that they give this metaphor that it was like locusts, and we know locusts in the Bible always represent taking and devouring the land. So they would come up with camels, they come up with hordes, they come, I like this word, marauders. They came in and just wrecked the land of all of the work the children of Israel had been doing. Is everybody with me? But I want to share something about this. Is complaint. Not in a negative way. But a complaint, I didn't go over this in Habakkuk, but listen. In Habakkuk chapter 1 and 2, do you realize this famous passage of scripture? In Habakkuk, all of us knew chapter 2 about writing the vision. But the background of that is that really Habakkuk's prophecy was that he was complaining about all the evil that was going on in the world. And what I want to reveal to us out of Habakkuk is out of Judges 6. In the children of Israel, there is a pattern. And the pattern was that there came enemies that wreaked havoc on their lives. And when they wreaked havoc on their lives, they look to the Lord, and as in Habakkuk, God says, I want you to see what I'm about to say, and he says, write that vision down. So in Judges chapter 6, right here, we're about to see something powerful, is that out of what the enemy is doing to them, we read in verse 7, that they cried out unto the Lord, and the Lord sent to them a prophet. Hallelujah. So here it was, they were in a deficit. They were in a complaint situation. And they say, look, they cried out to the Lord. And I want us to maybe let's capture this part. What happened to us is not good. This is negative stuff. And the mess that we in feels like we are less. Are you with me? And so therefore, I want to show you that it says this here. It says, they cried out to the Lord for help. They cried out to the Lord for what? The prophet reminds them of what God has already done. I'm not sure why you're not typing and writing right there. That was the power of the message right there. In the midst of your distraught situation, in the midst of a famine, in the midst of you feeling like things are being stolen, things are being killed, things are being destroyed, things are on the lost side, you feel like you're hurting and the enemy is running you rampant by bondage, the devil is running havoc on you. I tell you what this prophet did. This prophet came to them and told them, look, God delivered you from the Egyptians. God gave you a land that wasn't yours, and he drove out all the enemies. All I'm trying to get us to see is that God needs us to be reminded of what God has already done. You don't have to worry about what's about to happen when you already remember that God did this already before. I was once in a problem, and we got out of it. I've been here before, and when I walked in that office of Pastor Barry, he told me what to do. He told me how to do it. I walked into Pastor Ransom room. He told me and gave me the empowerment and the inspiration that I could do what the other office told me to do. And I'm telling you that you already know what to do, but may this be the power of Almighty God to tell you that you can do it because you already know how to do it. Got a giant in front of him, 10-foot guy. Everything on this dude's boot is bigger than him. Goes back in the corridors of his testimony. Nobody was out there with him on the sheep field. Nobody saw the bear coming. Nobody knew what the lion gave him to. He might have had scratches on him from all we know. But he said, I whooped up that bear. I whooped up that lion. And this here Philistine is going to have to be whooped too. Go back to the scriptures real quick. Hallelujah. Can I tell you a joke? I told one of my members last night, I'm already 90 minutes overdue on the message. Before we ever got started, the message is already 90 minutes over. Don't worry, I'm not going to go that long. Amen. Can I get you to look at Judges chapter 6? I want to start at verse 11. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. And Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of the wine press. Notice what he's doing because of the enemy. To hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. I need you to see this, church. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestor told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Look at the next verse. Then the Lord turned to him and said, Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. Everybody said amen. You got to see this context and you've got to understand the story. I'm not going to preach the whole message. Can't. But you've got to understand the story. Say the story. Here's the story. The story is the Midianites gather up with, come on, everybody, your attention. There's nothing going on that's more important than God rescuing you right now. Listen, and here's God. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and then some people from the east, they all gather together, and because they all gather together, you got to catch this, one tribe or one nation of people didn't feel like they was big enough or strong enough to go against the children of Israel on their own. So they gather up a bunch of them to take them on. And therefore, they get so numerous that they're more than the sand of the sea. So they're just numerous. And they eat up, tear up, and destroy everything that belongs to the children of Israel. God sends a prophet to them, and the prophet reminds them of what God has already done in their lives. I'll say this to you, please. This week, when you come into a difficulty, go back and remember and write down the things that God has already done in your life. And then, it was the angel of the Lord. It was the angel of the Lord. And then the angel of the Lord comes and says to Gideon, mighty man of valor, mighty hero. Have you ever tried to have a pity party and the people not trying to flow with you? Have you ever been trying to like be down because things is down, and then God sends somebody your way? You know, Pastor Holly sent you a text. Oh, woman of God, been praying for you that Christ would make you strong, that whatever you put your hands to turns to gold. You're like, I ain't trying to read that right now. Right? There, come on, Wapa, ain't that right? But let me tell you something about God. God came to Gideon and said, Gideon, mighty man of valor, mighty hero. Gideon could have been like, are you not hearing me? I'm over here hiding. I want to share with you, does the enemy have you hiding? Does the enemy have you hiding out? Have you just retreated so far back that we don't even know who you are anymore? Because you may not know who you are. God came to you today saying, mighty woman of God, mighty man of valor, you're a great husband. Your children rise up and think that you're wonderful and affectionate. Your wife is a blessing to be with you. You are a blessing to her, and she is a blessing to you. God needs you to hear what he thinks about you. Why? Because what God said about him is not based on your ability, it's based on his ability. And he called him a mighty hero because he knew who he was, that I can make you what you don't see about yourself. I don't know about you, but my God and your God keeps making me more than I thought I was. I am a mighty man. Can I tell you something else? And this is a mighty church of God in the AIDS community. And God is doing a good, great work with it. Are you ready? Last part. This was supposed to be later in the message. Midianites. Scary. Leaders, pastors, staff, growing in maturity, elders, lay people. Scary. But this is our story. Midian means strong.
strife. Midian means strife. First verse, chapter 6 said that they were turned over into the Midianites. You've got to look at your personal life. You've got to look at our group life. And we've got to be very careful that we're not turned over into strife. It's a good word. Can somebody pull up Google? Stand on your feet. Somebody pull up Google. I want you to put in the definition for strife. Just say Google, tell the Google person on there. Say, hey Google, define strife. You can come up and sing. Come up and sing. Anybody? Hold, say it again. Angry or bitter? Go ahead. Angry, bitter, over what? Conflict and over core issues, fundamental issues. BCC, marriages, families, big families, small families, women, classrooms, work people, friendships. God is wanting us to see we've got to be all in to win. If it's a marriage, you've got to be all in to win. You can't hold anything back. What held them back was strife. And as a result of strife, strife creates division. Strife creates us to be apart. Strife says, no, this isn't the right way. I see a better way. Strife always wants to divide. And the enemy was strife. This was not the devil coming in to run havoc. It was the Midianites, which means strife. And a house can be destroyed when it's divided against itself. Therefore, we have got to beat the Midianites or strife. Somebody say amen. Amalekites means valley. Strife joined up with valley and brought them low.
So much, Jesus. And even as I pray that it's a teaching and a preaching that is reaching and clarifying, that we might look to Jesus Christ as being the hope of glory. For God, we read in Isaiah 35 that you are going to destroy our enemies. God, you are Lord. You're coming to save us, and you're already here.
Thank you so much, God, that you are the destroyer of our enemies and we are not. Therefore, God, for the angel of the Lord left Gideon, and your word says, and the Lord turned and said to Gideon. For the angel of the Lord left, God, and God, you stepped in and started talking to Gideon yourself. I thank you, Jesus, that those that are prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, everyone, Lord God, on a TV ministry, we bless them for what work they have in our lives. But God, what we have need of more than ever before, and if I'm going to be all in to win, I need you, God, to turn and speak to me yourself, Lord. I've got you on the inside of me. I want to hear your words. I want to hear your voice. I want to know it's you who have called and chosen, selected, snatched me out among my brethren and put me in a place of prosperity. We pray, God, that you would turn to the members in this house, the members in this room, the members in the cars, and speak to them themselves. That's the place that we open ourselves up, God, to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Would you do this? Would you give God a praise offering right now with your hands? Could you do that?